Yo, what's up?
It's your boys.
Was up?
With that, I feel like we're just going right back to the thing.
We did that last episode.
I know.
Don't do it again.
Oh, okay. But you love a throwback. That's comedy. That's what the comedy is.
Well, no, there's a difference between a throwback and a callback.
Oh, did I say throwback?
You said throwback.
Oh, I meant callback. Sometimes when I say callback, I get confused because I think about when you audition for something and then the producer wants to see you again. To me, that's a callback.
Those are good too.
Those are always good.
Yeah. I love a callback.
Yeah, callbacks are good. Callbacks are great. What are those like?
Gosh, I wouldn't know.
Man, remember those days?
Those were the days. I miss those. You go into a room full of strange, powerful people, and they're just looking at you.
Yeah.
You're like, well, Greg Sulkin was in here a minute ago, and he really did it. So, what do you got, Shorty?
you can still smell him.
Yeah. The Sulkin was heavy in the air.
Not Greg V. Sulkin.
No, he didn't. Greg Sulkin doesn't smell bad.
He smells delightful. Yeah, that's the problem.
Smells like Greg Sulkin, you know?
Yeah. Greg Sulkin smells exactly like what you would imagine Greg Sulkin smells like.
Greg Sulkin smells how he looks. Yeah. He smells exactly how he should.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like, close your eyes right now wherever you are.
I'm doing it right now.
Close your eyes. Now picture Greg with 3 G's in your head. G-R-E-G-G. Triple G.
Triple G.
Go ahead. Hey, I'm Brett Davern and we're rolling out. Looking for America's greatest, best looking British actors on Greg, Gregs, and Gregs. Coming back on Triple G. I want to have a show called Triple G where I just drive around and find actors with 3 G's in their names. Hey, I'm Brett Davern. We're rolling out on Triple G. I'm driving like a vintage Camaro.
Very niche show.
All right, now are you still closing your eyes?
Yeah. I never opened them.
All right. Keep your eyes closed. Now picture the beautiful Greg Sulkin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now try to imagine what that person would smell like.
It's like the ocean to me.
That's, well,
Greg Sulkin smells like a linen covered beach.
It doesn't matter really what you're picturing out there, because whatever you're picturing, that's exactly what he smells like.
Yeah. He is all the smells. Greg Sulkin is like the pantheon of smells.
Greg Sulkin is from my car.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tie your pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raves. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dead buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around. Radioactive Dads.
Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio. I am Brett and he is Nathan. And we're both actors, and we both have kids.
And we both are constantly locked in an epic creative battle with the talent of Greg Sulkin.
Well, we used to be.
We used to be, yeah.
Right. It's funny because...
at one point.
I was just thinking of... I just meant that, like, we used to know we were at least in a battle with him. Now we don't know. You don't know. You used to see him in the waiting room. Now you don't know. Right.
That's true.
Did Greg send in a tape for this? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Producer Katie and I were talking about behind the scenes, like how depressing, you know, the world is. when it comes to acting specifically, sometimes, especially right now, because the world, you know, when it shut down, during COVID in March of 2020. And, you know, the world of auditioning completely went away. And so everything had already been going towards these send in your own tape anyway and stuff. And so it was already going that way. But COVID was the thing that pushed it off the cliff for sure.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, things change and all that. But what producer Katie and I were lamenting about the other day was that I understand self-tapes. I understand the new way of casting. I understand the convenience. I understand all of the positives and the pros about it. But the con about it for the actors is that you were never going to get every job you went out on anyway. And we all know that. But one of the consolation prizes was that even if you didn't get the job, you could hang out and commiserate and fellowship with fellow actors inside the waiting room.
Yeah.
And there were guys and gals that I have full friendships with that I've never seen outside of casting waiting rooms.
Yeah.
And the biggest bummer of this whole new world order, especially when it comes to acting for me, is the loss of that.
Yeah.
Is the loss of just, oh, hey, Devin, what's up, man? Oh, yeah, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, cool, bro. Hey, we should get beers sometime. And then you never do. You never hang. You never. I mean, whatever. And that, but by the way, that's fine. My whole point is that, like, I used to just look forward to, like, oh, maybe I'll see Devin at this one.
Mm-hmm.
I love Devin, you know?
Are you referring to Devin? Just to clarify, you're referring to Devin Werkheiser, right?
Devin Werkheiser.
Right.
Or Sawa, whoever you got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Tyler Posey and I had an entire friendship before we were ever on TV at the same time.
Right.
I just would see him in waiting rooms all the time. Dylan O'Brien, same thing.
Ugh, yeah.
A young Nathan Kress, but he would always keep to himself across the room.
Oh, yeah. No, I was way in my head about it.
He kept his sunglasses on.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My Bieber hair was just like down to here.
I used to see Josh Hutcherson in rooms all the time. And I used to see a bunch of other actors and actresses that you've never heard of and you don't know any of their names. But the whole point is that I think all of us would ride in our car and be like, well, maybe I'll see a friend of mine here. I'll get to have a moment. And that is all gone. And like I said, I understand why. It just and whatever. You can still get jobs off sell tapes. It all of those arguments aside. Just the sort of like little social thing for actors. And also that it was something that let you know you were still in the business, even if you weren't booking jobs. Because, you know, it was like, damn it, I haven't booked a job in 4 months, but at least I'm here auditioning with Devin and with Tyler and with Dylan. And that means that we're all still in it together.
Yeah.
And so we're all still a part of this little, like, you know, team band of people or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you weren't booking jobs, it still felt like there was something to shoot for because, hey, at least I'm still going in.
Right.
Now with these self-tapes, it's like, well, I'm not booking jobs. And also, I'm not even sure if anyone watches this.
Right.
At least back in the day, there was someone in the room. There were other actors out in the waiting room. You know, it was like you knew you were there at least.
Yeah. And like you could convince them. Like, and I'll tell a story 100 times. When I auditioned for iCarly, they did not. The moment that I walked into the room, they did the, you know, there was 2 scenes in the audition. They were like, we're just going to have you do the first scene.
Oh, yeah. They didn't want you at all.
No, not at all.
No.
So they literally.
Not 100 years did they want you.
No. Here's the thing. Listen, they did not want me at first. But after doing the first scene, they said, you know what? Actually, no, let's do the second one.
Yeah.
If this was a self-tape, they would have scrolled to about the 30-second mark, looked at me and went, nah, too young, and then moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to watch me do the entire scene.
Yeah.
That convenience of just taking a quick glance and then bopping away was gone.
Yeah.
They had no choice. They had to do it. And like the other thing that I realized I missed so much is with the self-tape, you're just shooting your shot and taking your best shot at what you think it's supposed to be. There's no redirection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing a Zoom thing, that's different. But it's even that is so much different than doing it in the room. But
it's
if you're self-taping, the casting director can't say like, no, actually, you know, do it this way instead.
Even
you're just doing it.
Well, and even Zoom stuff is like the rhythm is off. I mean, listen to our rhythm.
Right.
When you do come into the same room and we sit down and record, whenever I can wrangle
you
into
it. Away.
Yeah.
Right.
But the rhythm is different when you're in the room with someone. So even all these casting people who say to me like, well, we do Zoom things sometimes. I go, that doesn't solve the issue. I talk at a different volume on Zoom. I talk at a different pitch on Zoom than I do in person. I mean, I know I'm an actor and in the audition, I will do all of the acting things and hopefully avoid that. But right. I'm conditioned to Zoom now. I mean, shit, I spend how many hours a day on here? So that's maybe unique to me. But I'm just saying, like, Zoom is not analogous to in-person. Can we all...
No.
We need to all remember that as the future right. goes on here. You know what I mean, Nathan? Like, yeah, we all need to remember that we all remember the before times. You know what I'm saying? Let's not all pretend that Zoom is exactly like being in the room. It's not.
No.
Okay.
Rant over?
So will iCarly be the first show to bring actors back? Will iCarly be the first show to have a waiting room for actors again at auditions?
If I have anything to say about it.
You're a producer?
Yes. Yeah.
Come on, baby.
All right. I'll make some calls.
We will not go silently into that dark night. Us actors, we will stand on the shores and fight this rising tide of being apart from each other.
Are you doing Independence Day right now?
I'm auditioning.
I'd vote for you for president any day.
You know, sometimes, to Nathan's point, like sometimes you do know at a first impression if someone's going to book it or if they got the thing or if you like the thing or whatever. Sometimes you do know right away, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to let things grow on you, like Harry Styles' solo career. You know?
Yeah, exactly like that.
I didn't know if I liked it right away. I wasn't used to it. I wasn't going to give him the time of day because he was from One Direction. So I judged that. But you know what? You kind of stick with it. Oh, shit, this is pretty good.
Brett, what's wrong with One Direction?
We don't have time, Bree. In a word, unison. This is Harry Styles. Turn it up. It's Radioactive Daz. We'll be right back.
One of them was slimed on Nickelodeon.
I don't know. I'm
the
all
other
distracted.
One got dumped on MTV.
I'll tell.
Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
Oh, dude, brother. We are having a conversation during the break over here.
Oh.
Now, you guys, this is what you don't get with a Zoom world, okay? So we take the commercial break. We're listening to the music. But Nathan, you know, he's on Zoom. And so we can't talk to him during the break. We could text in the chat, but come on. By the way, where's the side window on Zoom? They should do that.
Yeah, like a breakout room.
Oh, we could probably do that. Wait, does all this technology exist? We just don't know it.
And we've just been sitting here waiting for the song to end?
Bree, would it work if we got into a breakout room during the break?
Would it record the conversation in the breakout room? Because
we can't have that. That's for private conversation.
Somebody invent me my own podcast Zoom. Anyway.
So what's happening over there?
Wow, we were going deep during the break, dude. A little existential. Existential type stuff.
What did I miss?
Well, just more of the conversation about like being isolated, alone, like that kind of thing. We took it beyond the world of acting to just kind of talk about how, like, you know, people, if you used to go into an office every day, if you used to, I mean, all kinds of people in all kinds of different fields, and you'd meet, you know, 12 people you never met before on an almost daily basis. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sort of wondering, positive or negative, I'm just sort of wondering, like, what the ramifications of a couple years without doing that or doing to people, you know, because I don't really hear any of my friends talking about it or anything, but I know that they only are around their families and have been for like 2 years, but I don't really hear any of them talking about it in the way that I'm thinking about it, I guess. And I'm, by the way, out of the house at producer Katie's apartment studio. So it's like, but I'm only around her. So, I mean, you know, I pass a few people on the way from the car, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. How do you feel about that, Nathan? Like, I mean, you have been going to work and being around a bunch of different people, but during your hiatuses and stuff, it's still isolating a little, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think it's a little different. Like, our neighborhood, even from the beginning, was a little bit of our own bubble.
That is nice.
We did sort of bubble down and people were just kind of keeping their distance more, but there was still a lot of like socializing across the driveway and
right,
you know, the dads would still go crack a distant beer and hang out, you know? So there was, I think I definitely, we were lucky with where we live that there wasn't as much isolation.
Well, but what you're talking about is, and not to argue with you, but that's a familiarity. You guys know each other. I'm kind of talking about the, like, just interaction with strangers on a daily basis that none of us have anymore. Like, if you don't know someone, it's like, well, I'm not talking to them.
Yeah.
Because, you know everyone you talk to on Zoom, you know for the most part. You know what I mean?
I do think that, especially between, like, the isolation part and just, like, with how insane politically everything has gotten, I feel like now the trust level in our fellow stranger has just, like, plummeted.
Well, because I mean, that's you and I talk about this all the time with your, state-of-the-art high-tech robot attack dogs and everything that you have at the compound there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I guess I'm talking more about, like, when a person that you don't know coughs right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just, now you're just like, okay, so do I have it now?
When a person you don't know does anything right now, like, honestly, I mean, we did this road trip up to Mammoth and back, and you stop at gas stations, and I mean, people are just, it's like interactions with people are just weird now. Yeah. I don't know, like, all the people, the other drivers, people in the stores, people, I don't know. It's like everything's just strange. I don't know what it is. But this, I don't know, I just started talking about it with the being out of audition rooms and waiting rooms and stuff like that. But I think in general, like, in a broader sense, that's just the micro of the macro, you know? I think it's happening to everybody. So I guess we're all in it together, but I just don't hear anyone else complaining about it as much as I do. And then again, I complain about it.
Well, I don't know if there might be a reason for that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think half of it might also be just the weird, and I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of analysis about this over decades, but just the half of it is just that you only see the top half of people's face.
Yeah.
And if there's just kind of a disconnect there too, I remember when the show started, it was 95% people that we had never met before. And one of the first things that you want to do is start kind of getting in good with the crew and building that rapport and that relationship.
Yeah.
And it still happened relatively quickly, but it seemed like it took a lot longer,
of course,
than it normally does, because you have to be, the COVID team gets mad at you if you spend too much time too close to each other, you know, and we don't have PPE on. So there's just different requirements and restrictions and stuff. And just, I think, you know, when the crew's outside and they have their, like, surreptitious mask off and they're eating lunch and stuff, it's just weird, even that, because I don't know what any of them look like, really.
Yeah.
You know, and we're having all this interaction with each other. There's just these weird disconnects, and our brain only has half of the picture. There's just a blur over everything. And it's almost disconcerting when you actually see everyone fully. It's a strange phenomenon. And I'm sure they're going to put some name on it later.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was literally going to say, what's this going to be called?
I don't know.
Because it's like right now we have, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you have a lot of kids already, or there's all these studies out about, like, kids on the spectrum, things like that, social cues, things like that. Those are, you know, things that we've dealt with for a while. But now I think there'll be a whole new thing, like you just said, of that, that is kind of from these sort of social things that we've all had to do, the masks and the like. I mean, but then again, there are some geographical places where they haven't really had to deal with that for a lot of the time, which, again, who knows, whatever you think about that, but that's just a fact. And then there's other geographical locations where the kids, the younger generations, they have the mask the entire time. So it's going to be, like, regionalized also, maybe, which is going to be strange. True. Or whatever, everything will just go back to normal.
I think that's what everybody wants to do.
This will all sound crazy someday.
Right.
That's what we're all hoping, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I am really, as soon as you said that, and I'm now trying to think about what that would be called. And the only thing that I can think of is that it's going to be a crazy long German name. Like, you know how when there's something complicated to describe and you can't describe it in English, like Schadenfreude and Mittelschmerz. I feel like this is going to be Doofenfluffy Faceschmerz.
I think you just named it.
Doofenfluffy Faceschmerz works for me.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. I feel like that describes the feeling that I have about the whole thing.
Which is that the syndrome or the diagnosis of the, that's like the PTSD, that's what you're naming it? How are you describing this thing? Or that's what you're feeling right now?
That's what I'm feeling right now. Okay. The disconnect, the social disconnect between how it feels to interact with a person versus how different it feels to interact with them when their mask is off.
Right, right. And what was it called again?
Doofenfloofenfacenschmerz. Doofenfloofyfacenschmerz. I can't remember now.
There you go. Nailed it. You heard it here on Radioactive Dads, everybody. Nathan gave it a title.
You're welcome, world.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
Or just call it Kress syndrome.
I mean, look, we pre-record these episodes. By the time this one comes out, we'll see where we're at in our county. You live up in a different county than me, don't you?
No, it's the same.
It's the same? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm one exit away from being out of the county I live in.
Right.
I'm right on the edge.
Yeah.
I almost made it. That weird so little close. Invisible line has got me so hemmed in. Oh, if I was only 1/2 mile further up the 101, oh, mm-hmm. the freedom I would taste. But anyway, so, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's in it together.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Maybe.
You know. Or no one's in it together and it's just dog eat dog out there.
Oh, you're scaring me, man.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't know.
How come iCarly doesn't have masks on the show?
Because we live in a fantasy world where pandemics don't happen. We literally have a joke about it.
Yeah.
So we didn't go the Grey's Anatomy route where they played the reality of, oh, we all have to have space helmets on
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
are still PPE, but they allow the actors to have faces still and not fog up.
Well, no, I was kind of just wondering. I haven't seen it being played out on a lot of TV shows yet or movies yeah. or anything. Like, has there been a movie yet where the characters are wearing masks and talking about COVID? I mean, there has to have been, but...
There's those ones, like that one that was the socially distant shot. It was like Love in the Pandemic or whatever.
Oh,
I think it was
right.
on Netflix or something.
Yeah.
There was that where they fully just leaned into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's ever going to be acting stuff where there's masks.
It hasn't worked, right? I mean, people...
No. Yeah. But I mean, then again, like medical shows, when they're doing surgeries and stuff, they all yeah. have masks on. But it's different because that's just for small snippets of it.
There's going to have to be some movies that come out about COVID, though, for sure. There's got to be
yeah.
the sort of Mark Wahlberg, you know, he'll play right. the doctor who made the vaccine or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's going to have to be a sort of true story movie about these times at some point.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be about how the CDC
right.
did
yeah.
all the stuff that they did and behind the scenes, and Ridley Scott's going to do it.
Do you want to play Fauci?
No.
You could. Why
Thank
not?
Thank you.
I mean, you could play like a young Fauci, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's not about the pandemic. Maybe it's like the Fauci origin story.
I was going to say, why don't we do a movie called Fauci, starring Nathan Kress?
Yeah. Everybody, I like the Nats. And I maybe was involved in some kind of thing in Wuhan where
wait,
I figured
hold
out how to make coronavirus is incredibly contagious.
Wait, whoa. First of all, we haven't written the script yet. And second of all,
I'm doing it right now.
What? He didn't sound that way when he was young.
I don't know. Have
oh,
you
no.
seen videos of him
you
when
know,
he was young?
Speaking of self-tapes, you did not get the job.
Dang it.
I'm just going to let you know right now.
I'm just workshopping it, though. This isn't the audition.
Did you see what just happened? I gave him the job. And then he got it taken away right away. He got
but
fired.
How do you know that he didn't sound like that? You might just be a garbage producer and casting director.
No, I've seen video of a young Fauci.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's plenty of video out there.
Mm.
Can you go tell Nathan he's fired during the table read? Can you go get him? Tell him to grab
that's the worst time.
Tell him to grab his stuff. I've heard stories of actors being walked out of table reads before.
Oh my gosh, that's mortifying.
I know.
At least let him get through it. Dude, I got it. Wow. Yikes.
Sometimes you have multiple episodes to read in a day. Mm. And sometimes the producers just can't listen to that person anymore.
Is this a story that you can tell? Because I kind of want to know.
I kind of just did. That's about as much as I could say, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys can rewind, listen to it. That's the whole story. That's as much detail as you get.
Mysterious.
These days, that person's Zoom window just disappears.
Oh, we got cut off. Oh, man. Well.
Yeah. The producer just mutes themselves and then says to the casting director, can you remove them from the meeting, please? Ruthless.
True.
This is Maggie Rogers. I love her. Turn it up. We'll be right back.
Do you believe me now that I always had the best intentions, babe? Always wanted to stay. Can you feel me now that I'm vulnerable in oh so many ways? Oh, and I'll never change. Oh, I couldn't stop it, tried to figure it out, but everything kept moving.
One of them is known for spaghetti tacos. The other one is just awkward. Radioactive Dads on Adobe Radio.
You want to read some emails, pal?
I will as soon as you turn your camera back on there, bud.
Oh, sorry. I was going incognito mode.
I got to see your face.
Oh, before we read emails, the reason I have the Fresh Prince in the background here.
Yeah.
It's just because that was probably a time there was some waiting rooms for actors.
Yeah.
That's really the only reason why. Also, I love that show.
Yeah. What do you think about the new thing they're doing?
Well, it's like what I think about all these reboots and remakes. You know, and I do mean all of them.
Yeah, so what do you think of it?
Well, I think the same thing about all of them.
Yeah, no, I know. So what is that thought?
It's the same about them all. I think same thing about all of them.
Yeah, that I understand. I do understand that. What I'm saying is, what is that opinion that you have?
Honestly, my opinion is ever evolving, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to put a finger on it. Because at the beginning of all the remakes and reboots and stuff, of course, and we've talked about it a million times. I mean, let's face it, before there was an iCarly reboot and remake, we were both just like, ugh. Blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, we're just living in the era of nostalgia in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's all these different eras, right? Silent era, the black and white era, the golden age, or whatever. This is the age of nostalgia.
Right.
And that's what we're living in. And it's a bit of a, if you can't beat them, join them sort of attitude I think I've taken lately, because it's like, this is just what's happening. It's not necessarily what I wish was happening, but at the same time, it is what's happening. So it's all good. And by the way, let's face it, some are better than others. I mean, you guys are doing it really well. Look, dude, I was watching Ocean's 11 the other night. That's a remake. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's clearly ones that are good and ones that are bad. And instead of prejudging them from now on and just complaining about them and being the get off my lawn old man, I've just kind of evolved to the point, I think, where I'm just like putting up with all of them and reserving judgment until I actually watch them.
Right. Yeah. I think that's fair. At least I've seen the trailer for Bel Air. And what I do like is, you know, kind of to your point, I don't inherently not like the reboot, reimagining, revival concept, as long as it's not just literally doing the same thing again, but in 2021 language.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I appreciate Bel Air, is like, rather than making it a multi-camera comedy, it's a single camera drama.
Yeah. Switching it up. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing is interesting, where like the concept just works either way, but it's going to be super different. You know,
yeah.
So that kind of stuff I appreciate. I feel like that takes at least a modicum of creativity.
The part I think is kind of lame, though, and this is in no way any offense or anything like that, but this is just my opinion about all of these ones being done. The part that I do think is kind of lame is that it's like Will and they're all the same producers and creators and stuff, but it's like they're not in it. So it's like they're just kind of cashing checks, which who can blame them? I'm not blaming them, and I would love to have the bank account, but I'm just kind of saying, like, that's the part that I go, like, get out of the way and let some other storytellers in.
Well,
I guess
unless
these
not.
Are new storytellers, but it's not a new story. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're not. That's the thing. It's hard to know. Like, they might have had a lot to say.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, come on. I'm sure they have a lot to do with it. But my point is like, it is just sort of warming over that same thing we've already seen. But at the same time, like I said, that's just what we're dealing with right now. So you might as well do it better than everybody else. And in that way, I'll at least respect it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
doofing, floofing, racing tricks.
Look, I'm on the side of anyone who's just trying to tell good stories and all of that kind of stuff, you know? So
yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. If that story happens to be about Iron Man, I'm in, you know? It's just, don't tell me a crappy story about Iron Man for the sixth time. That's where I'm mad at you.
Right.
As long as it's always interesting and good, I'm in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over to the email. Speaking of interesting and good.
Oh, nice transition.
Ah,
nice.
See what I did there?
I see.
I'm going to give myself a... There we go. All right. Over to the email. You guys can send in your emails, radioactivedads@gmail.com. I read them word for word, no matter how you send them in. So if your email or question was, you know, asked improperly, or you don't get the response you want, well, type it differently next time.
Oh,
we've had some people yelling at me lately again, Nathan. So,
I gotta
tell them what's up. All right, here we go. Word for word, subject line, question.
That makes sense. This is lining up already.
No punctuation. Question.
Ooh, risky.
Word for word, body of the email. I guess this question is for Nathan specifically, period.
Hmm.
Well, I guess I'll see myself out then.
Brett, you play a vital role. You have to read the question.
I know, but see, here's the thing. Nathan, because it, you know, we like getting his reaction in real time, he doesn't read the inbox.
Right.
And because I read it word for word and I'm a human with feelings and emotions, it says... I guess this question is for Nathan specifically, so he's going to have to go read it himself, I suppose. I don't know. What do you want me to do about it?
Well, keep in mind, he only guesses.
Now, I mean, look.
What if he's wrong? We don't know who this is from. What if this person is wrong?
That's true. It is just a guess. But I'll just say that a nice little just like, hey, what up, B, at the beginning –
It would go a long way, is what you're saying.
That's all I mean. It could.
You guess.
I guess. Back to the email. I'll start at the beginning again. I guess this question is for Nathan specifically, period. Since, comma, Spencer was a prankster on the show. Is that a full colon or a semicolon? Which one's the semi?
With the dot and the comma.
Yeah, okay, it's a semi.
Wow, right. We're throwing a semi in there. Someone's an English major.
Since, comma, Spencer was a prankster on the show, semicolon, was Jerry a prankster in real life, question mark? That's the whole thing, not signed.
Was that semicolon necessary then?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Might have just maybe missed the comma key.
Yeah, or like, I don't know if, does there need to be a comma after the since? Or is that one of those weird English things where we learned that in ninth grade, since, but then just never did it again?
Since Spencer was like, a prankster on the show.
Since Spencer was a prankster on the show, comma, you know?
Wasn't necessary.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's ask our college student. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
Bree,
the educated one. Hey, educated one. Is that proper?
Yeah, Bree, get in here. Turn on your camera. Let us know. What's up?
So, no. Yeah, the comma would be later.
Okay.
Was there a second comma, or did they just misplace the only one?
No, it was, since, comma, Spencer was a prankster on the show, semicolon, was Jerry a prankster in real life? I would also argue that both of these was's should be is's. But whatever, we digress. Nathan, answer the question.
That's true. Yeah. I feel bad that we're just picking apart punctuation now rather than answering the question. We'll move on.
We're just kidding around. It's all good fun. Oh, yeah. I just ruined my New Year's resolution. I'm not saying I'm kidding anymore.
Oh, you blew it.
February. I'm not supposed to tell you I'm kidding anymore. You're just supposed to know me.
Mid-February, it's when all the resolutions go to poop.
Come on. Your daddy loves you. Don't worry. I'm just kidding around.
It's February 11th.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Daddy loves
well,
you.
Well,
speaking of which, Bree, turn your camera off again. Daddy loves you, but go away. Nathan, is he a prankster? What's up?
Yeah, I guess so. Not as much as on the show. Mostly it's just him trying to make us crack
right
mid-take, which is just kind of standard Jerry fare. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten better at it. My immunity to it has improved substantially since the original show. So I think I've just become a more cynical, less bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Like, I've just seen too much now.
Yeah, you're a hardened vet.
Yeah. I just don't break like I used to back in the day.
Nah.
But it's funny. We actually do sort of an homage to Spencer's prankiness in the second season.
Oh, nice.
So that will reappear and be discussed.
Is it an homage and a montage?
No, only an homage. The montage was in the original show. I feel like if we did an homage with a montage, it would have been what we're describing, where we're not doing new things. We're just going back to what we did. So no.
Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity for Jerry to have a menage with an homage and a montage.
I'll pass that in as a note for the third season.
I mean, maybe just in a line. That could just be a line, too. You could get away with saying menage on there in that way.
In that way, maybe.
Well, I mean, Freddie was a film.
Actually.
Freddie's a filmmaker. A menage. He could be doing an homage. He could be doing a montage of an homage and then figure out some way to use the word menage and put that in a line in the script. I think you're fine.
Right, I feel like that's the critical part is just, and we'll just figure out a way to make it make sense.
Yeah. It works. It's not profane. Menage. Nah, it's fine. You can say menage.
No.
Nicki Minaj. Come on.
Right. We actually do reference Nicki Minaj.
Oh, see? They've already said Minaj on the show.
Yeah, so.
Give me another Minaj on the show then.
But with a G.
I would like another Minaj on iCarly.
Okay. I've been writing all this down the whole time you've been talking. So.
Just cut after he says okay. We're out of time.
Already?
That's it.
Doggone. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for listening to this episode, everybody. It's been a pleasure taking your emails word for word and also reminiscing about the sweet smells of Greg Sulkin.
I can still smell the waiting rooms and Greg Sulkin at the same
time. Yeah, it's kind of 1947 musty.
Yeah.
Not Greg, the waiting room.
Right. Oh, no, he's coming in fresh.
Yeah, really fresh. Like, he literally stepped out of the shower, didn't even do anything, just walked out of the shower straight into the waiting room.
I met Luke Perry in a waiting room when I auditioned for Riverdale.
Oh, yeah?
R.I.P.
What did he smell like?
Success. Hurry up, it's over.
Okay, bye everybody. We'll see you next week. Email us radioactive.gmail.com. Bye.
Welp, that covers it for this week on Radioactive Dads. Nathan and Brett will be back next week with a brand new episode. Streaming on adobe.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.